Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
And I welcome you back to Bob Burney Live. Yesterday, I gave you some statistics from the year-end report from Planned Parenthood, indicating that they performed a record number of abortions in America last year. A record number of abortions. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as I give you this good news on the abortion front, all right? This whole, the abortion thing is a huge good news, bad news. Listen to this. Here's the headline. 36 abortion clinics closed in 2019. 79% of all abortion clinics opened in 1991 have shut down. Now, contrast that to what we learned yesterday from the Planned Parenthood report. Abortion clinics across America are shutting down. 36 individual abortion clinics closed down just last year. And when you look at since 1991, 79% of all abortion clinics that were open in 1991 have closed. 79%. And yet, in spite of all of that, Planned Parenthood had a record year of abortions. Go a little further. Since 2013, 367 surgical abortion facilities have permanently closed. Since 2013, 367 surgical abortion facilities have closed. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that in spite of what Planned Parenthood has been telling us for years, well, abortion is just a small part of what we do. We're taking care of women's health issues. We're doing this. Abortion becomes a larger and larger part of what Planned Parenthood does. So think of it this way. If this were on a graph, you would have abortion facilities other than Planned Parenthood, and the graph would be going sharply downward. Since 2013, 367 have closed. Since 1991, 79% of individual abortion clinics have closed. So you would have that one graph. Independent abortion clinics, and the line would go dramatically down. And then you'd have Planned Parenthood, and the line would be headed dramatically upward. Two trends. One for life, one for death. And Planned Parenthood is leading the charge, if you will, on the move towards death of innocent unborn babies. The more you learn, about Planned Parenthood, the more evil they become. And, of course, you know that last year, 2019, they hired a new executive director. She was on the job a very, very short time, and we have learned now why. Because she wanted to emphasize other aspects of women's health care. She wanted to emphasize much more than just abortions. Now, she was not anti-abortion. She was not pro-life. She was pro-abortion. But she said, hey, abortion shouldn't be the only thing we do. We should actually care for women. And she got fired because she cared for women and was not willing to put the major thrust of the organization into abortion. And then there's this story about Fuller Theological Seminary in California. I told you about a lawsuit a few months ago. A student at Fuller Theological Seminary who was expelled for, a woman was expelled for marrying another woman. Well, hello. That woman, when she signed up to go to Fuller Theological Seminary, knew exactly where they stood. Well, a second student has now joined the lawsuit. Here's the story. Last November, a student at Fuller Theological Seminary, the nation's largest interdenominational seminary, sued the school for discrimination after she was expelled for marrying another woman. Now, another former student is joining the lawsuit. In the amended complaint filed today, Nathan Britson, an American Baptist, is suing the school for more than $1 million to compensate for damages. Quote, according to the report, Britson received his letter of dismissal 2 days before beginning his first classes when school administrators discovered his same-sex marriage following his request to change his last name. So it's Nathan Britson and what's the woman's name? Her last name is Maxson. Maxson. She said in an interview with NBC News, she says, I was approaching the end and looking forward to graduation and all that stuff. To have that taken away unexpectedly, I was really a good student. I was devastated by it. Okay, here's the bottom line. Both of these students broke the rules. The campus handbook, the student handbook, explicitly forbids same-sex relationships, and particularly same-sex marriage. They knew what they were getting into. They knew what they had signed up for. They knew what the stand of the school was. They violated those standards intentionally. And then when they had to pay the consequences for the actions, they have decided to sue the school for $1 million each. Isn't that fascinating? Well, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty is representing Fuller. Now, you would think that neither one of these individuals would have any standing at all. They broke the rules. They paid the price. They got kicked out. Well, they are both claiming that Fuller Theological Seminary is violating Title IX regulations, and that these two individuals, their constitutional rights, according to Title IX, were being infringed upon. A representative for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty said, quote, it is a very important case at this time in our nation's history. This case could set an important legal precedent that if an educational institution receives federal funding, even if it's religiously affiliated, even if it's a seminary, that it's required to comply with Title IX prohibitions on sex discrimination as applied to LGBT individuals. So this is a very important case against Fuller Theological Seminary, and it will set a precedent. I could see this case eventually making it to the Supreme Court. Why is it so important? Same thing could happen to your church. If your church hired, let's say, a youth pastor, and after working for 6 months, your male youth pastor announces that he is going to marry his husband. And your church says, well, no, that violates our beliefs. You're fired. Well, if this case were to be successful against Fuller Theological Seminary, your church could be next. So it's important. We will keep an eye on it as it proceeds through the courts. All right, my number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. And we will be back in mere moments.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
You may remember this case. It's a case of Jamie Shoup. Jamie Shoup, back in 2016, was a hero of the LGBTQ movement. Back in 2016, he went to court in Oregon and declared himself to be non-binary, neither male nor female, and he wanted that to be declared legally. First time in American history. Well, an Oregon judge allowed him to change his gender from female, his preferred gender at the time. Now, it's a he, but he preferred to be a she. But he, who was pretending to be a she, wanted to literally become an it. And I don't say that to be derogatory. But he, who pretends to be she, wanted to be declared non-binary. He wanted legally to be called neither male nor female. Basic Rights Oregon, at the time, a radical LGBTQ organization, called it, and I quote, "a momentous day for genderqueer Oregonians." So you got the story. This was 2016. Some of you may remember it. I covered it on this program. First time an American was legally declared to be non-binary, neither male nor female. That was 2016, less than 4 years ago. Well, Jamie is now saying it was all a terrible, horrible mistake. Quote, "Shoup, who was born male, now says he suffered from mental illness and was a cat." Listen to this. "He now says he was a casualty of a system that rubber stamps individuals with gender dysphoria rather than giving them the help they need." Here's what this man is now saying. He's saying, hey, back in 2016, I was suffering from mental illness. I was suffering from gender dysphoria. I was saying things that were irrational. I was saying things that weren't true. I was suffering from mental illness. But instead of people helping me, they enabled me. Well, the story did not end there. Quote, "On Christmas Eve 2019, just a few weeks ago, on Christmas Eve 2019, an Oregon judge legally restored his gender to male and his name to James Shoup. He also has a new driver's license with his restored male identity." Here is what this man said recently. Quote, "The mental health system just rubber stamps you with gender dysphoria, discontent with a person's assigned gender. And they don't look at the underlying behavior. Educating myself about why I was doing the things I was doing was key to being able to make peace with it and allow me to go back to reality." He now lives in Ocala, Florida with his wife. "My case is still being used in non-binary gender lawsuits," he said. "But I want people to know I don't agree with that anymore. My hope is by making my story public, I can help reverse what I helped unleash. And now listen to this. He says, I should have been stopped. But out of control, transgender activism had made the nurse practitioner too scared to say no. Only one therapist tried to stop me from crawling into this smoking rabbit hole. When she did, I not only fired her, I filed a formal complaint against her. She's a gatekeeper, the trans community said. I want all of this to get smaller and smaller in the rearview mirror behind me. This thing has taken a tremendous toll on me. I want to have the story corrected and then just fade out of sight. Ultimately, he said he hopes the world will forget the non-binary chapter of his life. Isn't that interesting? The first case of its kind in America where a judge and the medical psychological community at that time in Oregon, instead of helping him, instead of saying, you know what, you have a problem and you need therapy, you're confused, and we want to get you help. Instead, because of the political correct attitude that puts political correctness and social engineering above the well-being of individuals emotionally, physically, or psychologically, they enabled a very sick man to believe that he was neither male nor female. Well, praise God, he has since gotten the help that he needed. And so America's first non-binary person says it was wrong. It was terribly wrong. It was harmful. And he is encouraging the medical and the psychological community that when people like him come to them to give them help, not enablement. Will you hear this story on the news tonight? Nah. When he was declared non-binary back in 2016, oh yes, it was on every major news program. His reversal? Nah. Nah, you won't hear a thing. Not a thing.